Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
So what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about responding to the fatherhood of God. Whether you're a father or not, every human being have to learn how to respond to the fatherhood of God. And a lot of time when you have had a bad experience with an earthly father, it is how you respond to the Father of God that determines how you can move beyond that. So every one of us, we want to learn what it means to respond to the fatherhood of God. Now, when we say the fatherhood of God, we are making reference to God expressing himself within the creatures of his own design. That is the fatherhood of God. So often we hear, we know when we pray, Father God, God the Father. Even the scriptures identify him as God the Father. So the fatherhood of God is God expressing himself with and within the creatures of his own design. How many know you were designed by God? The color you are formed the way you're formed because your daddy loved you so much until he made you in his own design. When it comes to responding to the fatherhood of God, I want us to look in the life of an individual or individuals who never had the benefit of having an earthly father or earthly mother to train, to model, and to teach them what it meant to be a father. And that individual is Adam. Adam didn't have the benefit of having an earthly parent to teach him, to model in front of him, to show him what it meant to be a father. But what he did have is he had the fatherhood of God. Let me say that again. He had the fatherhood of God. So even if you say, I have not had the training of a father or mother to train, to model, or whatever the case may be, when you become born again and you tap into the anointing of the fatherhood of God, you can live in this earth and be everything and accomplish everything that God has called you to do with no excuses. Look to your neighbor and say, no excuses. Because so often children make excuses for negative behavior and bad choices, and they try to blame it on somebody. And a lot of times they're blaming on their mother or their father. But when you understand the fatherhood of God, we have no excuse because the fatherhood of God allows us to live out our God-ordained purpose in the earth. Even if a child come into earth as an orphan with no father, no mother, say, you know, when they were born, their parents got killed and they were raised as an orphan. How many know they can tap into the fatherhood of God and live out their purposes in the earth? So let's begin our journey in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We have to go back to the book of beginnings when we start dealing with the fatherhood of God, because it is here that we witness the fatherhood of God being shaped in the life of Adam and also in the life of Eve. And so I want to give you quickly five ways in which the fatherhood of God is expressed through mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, we have a beautiful picture of the creation. We have a beautiful picture of how God put all this stuff together. We don't need a scientist. We don't need someone to try to intellectualize how man came to being. We have the Bible. They can save a lot of money trying to inquire in where man came from. He came from his creator. He came from God. So in Genesis chapter 1, we'll pick up there. After God had created all these things, and every time he created those things, he said God saw it was good, the light was good. You know, he created the sea creatures, they were good, everything was good. Then he got down to verse 26, and he created man. And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Out of the fatherhood of God that is expressed here is the characteristics of the creator. God created mankind, not as an exact perfect replica of himself, but there is attributes of God in the created man. And he calls it his image. And when he used the word image, he is making a reference to that part of man that is created to communicate with the creator. So it has to do with man's worship. In the image of creation, there is an element of righteousness in mankind. There is an element of knowledge in mankind. And there is an element of holiness in mankind. Adam didn't have a human figure showing him that this is what you do, this is how you do this. There were some things that was innately placed inherently in him as a human being. And so this image that man have received is there so man can communicate and commune with his creator. Adam didn't come into the earth worshiping mountains. Adam didn't come into the earth want to worship the sun. He didn't come into the earth want to worship the moon. He came into the earth with a heart to worship God, to go in the cool of the day and do what? And walk in the earth and talk to the creator. Where did it come from? The image. He didn't have a preacher to tell him you need to worship God. He didn't have somebody teaching in the Bible saying you need to worship God. It was inherently put in him. So here this creature is responding to the fatherhood of God in worship. Isaiah picked it up in Isaiah 43 and 7. He said this, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Did you get that, what the prophet said? Everyone, I've created him for what? For my glory. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter your race or whatever the case may be. The created order of God is God said, I've created mankind for my glory. That's his image that Adam had. In Isaiah 43, 21, listen to this. He said, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now, we know he is specifically talking about Israel or the Hebrews or the Jewish people. But how do you know, even though God started it with the Hebrew race, he did not start it with the Hebrews to say, okay, there's nobody else coming in. He got them to the land that he promised them. He said, this is your land. This is the place that you're going to be. And get this. And that God already had in his mind that Israel was going to reach out to the nation. The Gentiles were already part of God's redemptive plan. He's not a racist God. So I want us to see that when we respond to the fatherhood of God at creation, Adam responded because of the image or the likeness of God that was inherently in him, and it was for worship. If you can get mankind to worship God, how many know it will transform their hearts? The reason we have so much hatred in America, within the world, the reason we have racism in the world, the reason we have murder in the world, why? Because mankind is not worshiping God. In Romans chapter 1, when Paul began to talk to the people, made a statement in Romans chapter 1 that when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but they worshiped the creature more than the creator. And their minds became corrupt and they began to go in an unnatural order. Men with men and women with women. Read the Bible. Where did it come from? He said it's because of worship. They worship the creature. This is what I feel. This is what I want. They worship the creature more than the creator. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So when you find people reversing God's order, it has something to do with the mind. All because of worship. So what? If we can get people to worship God, racism cannot be in your heart and you'll be a true worshiper. It's not just white people that are racist. You got black people that are racist. You got Asians that are racist. You got Muslims. I mean, racism, it does not pick a certain category of people. It's a spirit of hatred. And it's a spirit of pride joining together. That's why God, when he can get a man to worship him, when he can get a woman to worship him, it changes the heart. Listen. Worship is not music. Thank God, music, the right music, what it does, it inspires worship. The right music, now look to your neighbor and say the right music. You got to have the right music. You got to have the right songs you're singing. Amen. Songs about bondage and death and pain and sorrow don't inspire me. So in the psalmist, he gives us songs of inspiration. So it inspires worship. Worship is not limited to church. Worship is a way of life. Adam had a way of life. Every day he talked to God in the cool of the day. He walking around doing his job. He working into God. He talking to God. He's enjoying God. He ain't bowing down to no sun. He ain't bowing down to no moon. He ain't got no idols in his heart. It's an image. And his worship is flowing out of his image. And we can get people born again that will deal with issues in our society. You can legislate all the laws you want. You can pass all the bills you want. That don't change your heart. Only God can change the heart. We're talking about what? Responding to the fatherhood of God. Sometimes people are trying to get on me. You need to do this. You need to be a good father. You need to be that. Get him in worship. Get him in the presence of God. And the same people that judge men, they need to get in worship themselves. We're talking about responding to the fatherhood of God. It begins with realizing that there are certain characteristics of God that he's innately placed in you. So when you get a point in your life, you just start feeling like, I'm tired of being tired. That's your image talking. When you get placed in your life, you've been trying to do it yourself, trying to get relationships to work out, trying to get somebody to love you, trying to find happiness. So you look up and say, Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way. That's your image talking. That's the part of God in you talking now, crying out for what? Worship. The second thing we notice is this. If you look on down in verse 27, the Bible's saying God created man in his own image, in his image of God. He created him. Now notice, male and female, he created them. Now, the Bible used the word he created them. But if you look in chapter 2, you see another part of the creation order where man is taken from the dust of the ground. God forms him. So you say, wait a minute, what's going on here? In chapter 1, what we have is what God is saying, this is what happened. In chapter 2, God shows us this is how it happened. It's the same thing. It's the creation. He tells us this is what happened. He created them, male and female, in his image and his likeness. In chapter 2, he said he took dust from the ground, formed man in his image, and blew in his nostrils. He took man's rib and made a woman. That's how it happened. It's like when you give your testimony of your salvation. You may tell somebody, I'm saved. I'm born again. Christ came in my life. Praise the Lord. Then you may come right back and tell somebody, let me tell you how it happened. I was at church, I was at home, I was listening to TV, I was reading this book, and I said the sinner's prayer. That's how it happened, but it happened. So the second thing is, there is connection with humanity. This is relationships. Responding to the fatherhood of God is when you realize that God have made you a relational being. And when people say, well, you know, I am an introvert, I just like to be by myself. You don't like to be by yourself. You might function better sometimes when you are alone with yourself. You okay with alone time where you find somebody else. They get energy out of the crowd. But God has made all of us to be relational beings. That's why marriage, when God instituted marriage, it is about what? It is about relationship. It's about partnership. It's not about someone ruling over someone and someone controlling someone. It's about what? Two people coming together, get this now, and two working together. Partnership. We grew up in the hood talking about that's my partner that fell on the tree. Now that ain't my partner. My partner's in my house. My wife is my partner. I want you all to get this because we see in Genesis 1:27 and look at verse 28. Then God blessed who? Them. He blessed them. And God said to who? Them. So we see them. A lot of time in relationship, you got to be in a relationship where it's not about just you. It's about us. That's why when God created the church, he didn't make the church a one person or a group of people, but the body of Christ. Then he talks about the unity of the body when we work together. The Bible even says in John 17, when the world sees the unity of the church, they believe in Jesus. And a lot of times the world don't believe in Jesus. Why? Because they see so much disunity in the church. And they say, man, you know, the people over at church, they fight. They can't get along. Ain't no sense me going over there. Relationship. That's important. How many know Satan hates relationships? That's why he hates marriages. That's why he hates parent relationship. God, in his creative order, established mankind for relationship. In Ephesians 3:14-15, listen to this. For this reason, Paul said, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes his name. Now notice, every family, every race takes its identity from the image in which he or she was created, which is God. Galatians 3, 26 and 28 says this, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Look to your neighbor, say relationships. Saints, God is a God of God is not a God of disorder. God is not a God of people being out of relationship. God is a God of relationships. And it takes work to keep relationships. You just can't think you can put it in autopilot and it's just going to be good. I mean, a lot of planes, they're flying now. They really, you know, the pilots are there, but they just put it in autopilot. But relationships are not like that. You're going to have challenges in relationship. You're going to have conflict in relationship. You're going to have people seeing things from different viewpoints. And in a real relationship, that's normal stuff. We just have to learn how to be humble and not think I got to have my way. And if it ain't my way, it ain't going to be no way. Relationships takes work. God's a God of relationship. It's the truth. Everybody on the face of the earth is not connected to God, even though he created them in his image. Everybody cannot say God, my father. Jesus cleared that up in John 8, 44 when he talked to the religious folk. Ain't that something? Jesus told church folk, God ain't your father. Now, if he was out there talking to the tax collector and all those other people in the crowd, and he tell them God ain't your father, everybody be like, well, I know he ain't my father. Look how I'm living. But when he show up at church and he tell all them folk with them titles, and he look him in the face and say, God ain't your father. And the priest might be carrying the little cross, God ain't your father. John 8, 44, listen what Jesus said. You are of your father, the devil. Who is he talking to? He's talking to those who think they know God. So that tells me this. The devil is a father. Therefore, a father got to have children to be a father. You are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature. He speaks out of his own image, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Responding to fatherhood of God. Number three is this, there's care for our human appetite. Okay, God creates man. He creates mankind. What's give him an image for worship. He brings him in partnership with another human being. So God is a God of relationship. And then if you look at verse 29, the Bible says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be what? Food. He gave him something to eat. So what does that tell me? That he cared for our human appetite. That is provision. And he went on down also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God cares for our need. That's the fatherhood of God. In Matthew 6, 31, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus says, so don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Verse 32 says, for the pagans run after all these things. Listen, the pagans run after things. The pagans run after things. Listen, Christian, stop running after things. He said, the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you have need. He know you need what? He know you need food. He know you need clothing and shelter. See, God promised to provide our need, but we live in America of greed. And so people are so motivated by greed until they can't get greed. They want to what? They want to take their lives. I can assure you everyone here in this church today got their need. I know you got clothes because you got them on. And I'm pretty sure you got food because you think about, hear it up, Pastor, so I can go take care of that. You already know where you're going to go eat. You talked about it on the way to church. After church, we're going to go eat so-and-so. And you got a place to cover yourself. And we ought to be thankful. In Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God will supply all your needs, not your greed, all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. The fourth one is this, creative ways to employ and express his ability and work. So here again, God has given him an image for worship. God has given him partner for relationship. God has given him food for provision. And the next thing God provides him is a way to express and employ his ability. That's work, saints. Don't you know so many people don't realize their potential because they're lazy? Laziness will rob you of the abilities that God has placed in you. That's why we as Christians need to be able to become a voice and let people know who think the government is supposed to take care of them. Let me tell you, if the government take care of you, he's giving you the bare minimum. He's giving you what you call shut up money. Money to keep your mouth shut so you won't try to do nothing with your life. Here you stay home. I'm talking about healthy young people that can work, and all you want to do is stay home talking about the government. And all year long, you'd have got $11,000 from the government. I'm just being real. All that potential and ability God has placed in you. And if you were to get out and start, get this now, pursuing, instead of sitting at home, somebody will help you if you're willing to help yourself. God will work things out for you. Then when you start developing your abilities and your skills, you go, first of all, you're going to feel good about yourself. Because I got a paycheck that I work for. You let a young person get a job and watch how they feel when they get paid. Their whole chest stands up. They get in their house, they walk with their shoulders back. Well, they develop independence. Work make you feel good about yourself. So in Genesis 2, verse 8, listen now. The Lord God planted a garden in eastward of Eden, and there what he did, he put the man whom he had formed. Listen, listen. If you look up in the text, the Bible say that when God created the world, that the earth had no rain. Look at verse number 5. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Look how awesome God is. God said, I'm going to hold back the rain until I can get a man on the job. Because when man gets on the job, what is going to produce? It's going to produce a need to work. So God is so awesome in his creation order. He said, man, I've given you ability to do something. A disability check and a retirement check does not give you the right to go be lazy in life. You may not be able to do some things you used to do, but you can do some. Instead of laying up, eating and sleep. If you eat and sleep all day, I can assure you your weight is doing something. Listen, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Even when we were with you, this we commanded you, listen, that if anyone that would not what? Work, neither should he eat. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says that. I hear somebody, well, I just can't watch my children go hungry. If they won't work, I ain't going to watch them go. They're going to go hungry somewhere else because they ain't going to sit in front of me. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Listen, you men who won't pay child support, you need to get it together and take care of your responsibility, especially if you claim to be a believer. Because the Bible says if you don't take care of those of your own household, how many know you are worse than an unsaved person? You've denied the faith. And mothers, get on your sons when they're not paying child support. Especially if you know what it's like to deal with a man who wouldn't pay child support for him or her. So you ask him questions when you talk to him. Instead of sitting there just on the phone, ask him, have you been keeping up with your child support? He'll stop calling you every day if you do that. I'm being real. They don't want questions of responsibility. But you have to ask questions about responsibility. It ain't being mean. It ain't being bad. If you say, well, you know, I just want to know, have you been staying on top of your child support? Because you know, last time you were in jail, you called me. I'm getting tired. You called me every time you get in jail. Now, if you ask them questions of responsibility, there you go again. Always putting me down. Always putting you down. Ain't nobody putting you down. I'm calling you to come up higher. You got to be a responsible person in life. That child deserves to be taken care of. It's not like they looked out of heaven and say, hey, I want to come down there. Y'all need to get together. No, no. Y'all had fun. Now you got to be responsible. Boy, the church get quiet when you're preaching the word of the Lord. All right, I'm going to close with this one. Commit to a course of obedience and accountability. That's the last one. We're talking about responding to the fatherhood of God. Commit to a course of obedience and accountability. Genesis 2, verse 16, the Bible saying, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but what? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, but the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. I want you to get this now. This is where the enemy shows up. Responding to God is about obedience. I'm going to paraphrase it. Adam, all is yours. You can eat anything you want. You can walk through. But get this. If you don't work, you ain't going to eat it because you got to tend it. You got to make sure you take care of it. All right? He's taking care of doing what he got to do. And all of a sudden, this evil spirit, Satan, shows up. I want you to grab this now. Satan shows up. He talks to Eve. You got to stop listening to the voice of the devil. He persuades her that she's not happy. She's not fulfilled. God's trying to hold back on you. There's some things, get this, life was fine. There's some things that God don't want you to know. And that's what he said, God ain't good to you. She yields to that temptation. Adam yields to that temptation. All of a sudden, get this now, I want you to get this. The fatherhood of God is now tainted. Because three things come on the scene. Pain, problems, and passing away. Because of Adam's disobedience, he introduced pain in the human experience. Brokenheartedness, sorrow, suffering. He introduced problems in relationships. He introduced passing away, death. How many know death was not part of God's original plan? Now, I want you to grab it. Number 2 through number 5 was tainted. Man's relationship is tainted. Relationships are hard now, difficult. Man's provision is tainted. Man's work environment is tainted. Man's commitment and accountability is tainted. Because of the fall. All four things changed. So when you hear all this stuff going on in the world, don't say that's God. When you hear about earthquakes and hurricanes, the world called an act of God, that ain't God. That's because of the fall. Y'all hear what I'm saying? All that suffering. California got all kinds of stuff going on out there. And they trying to pass all these laws that's totally contrary to God's word. All that stuff going on. That ain't God. That's the cause of the fall, right? Listen, four things he got to. But get this, he didn't touch his image. Amen. When Satan asked to test Job, he touched everything in Job's life, but he didn't touch his image. Amen. And God told him, you can touch everything. You can touch everything, but don't touch this area. Yeah. That's his worship. What brought Job out of his suffering? Worship. What brings you and I through problems? Worship. What brings you out of pain? Worship. What brings you through suffering in your life as a Christian? Your worship life. So, what we got to the fatherhood of God, there's a connection with my worship. I don't care what are you going through. If you're going through relationship problems, if you're going with the problems on your job, you just seek the face of God. Stay in worship. He's going to give you an anointing to come through that. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus come and Jesus started talking about prayer. He talks about giving and he talks about fasting. And then all of a sudden in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, is a parallel scripture. The disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. Worship. And what did Jesus say? This is how you pray. Our Father. Wow. Jesus had never used Father in the plural sense till just now. All other time, Jesus used it in the singular tense. My Father, my Father, my Father. Then he said, this is how you pray. Luke 11, 1. Our Father who are in heaven. How many know? That's your image. Our Father. For the Jews to say our Father, even other religions, they can't handle Christianity because you show such a relationship with the divine. How can the human show such a relationship with the divine? Because of the blood of Jesus. And so now when you call on the Lord, you say, our Father, or my Father, which is in heaven. How many know now your image is restored? You are communing with the Father. And the fatherhood of God will flow in your life like never before. In your relationships, in your provision, in your work, and through your obedience, you will experience the fatherhood of God in the name of Jesus. Every head bow, every eye closed. Father, Adam was a man just like us. Eve was a woman just like the women in this room. They were made of the same stuff we are made of. They had emotions, they had a will, they had an intellect.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for the Word Alive.